Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hey, it's an honor and privilege this morning to have our senior pastor, Pastor Chrissy Lee, with us. She's going to be sharing the Word of God. So as we do for all pastors, would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet as we honor our senior pastor, Pastor Chrissy Lee?
Thank you so much. You can take your seat. So good to be here, Belmont. You are looking so good. Unreal. I haven't been to the building for actually a couple of months, and can I say it's changed? It was so good to get a tour today and see how all those renovations have taken shape and obviously continue to take shape. I want to commend all of you. Actually, I really want to commend you because you have actually grown as a body of people. You've grown numerically. You've grown, I believe, in strength and resilience through the disruption and through the upheaval that renovations has brought to you. And I really want to commend you because that takes a lot of unity. That takes a lot of maturity. That takes a lot of resilience, a lot of strength. And I also want to commend to you your campus pastors. We love Gareth and Jess so much. Anyway, they are a couple of no excuses. They are really a couple of no excuses. They've got a little family in tow. You know, who knows, it would be easy to make excuses at the phase and stage of life that they're in, but they don't. And we just love them and value them and so greatly regard everything that God is placing on their life right now. Jess, earlier, I saw you as a surgeon's scalpel. I saw you as just something that was precise and to the point in the spirit, like a surgeon's scalpel, that where others might waffle around, and who knows, if you've got a surgeon's scalpel, you don't want to be haphazard with that thing. Precise and to the point in the spirit, to see things broken, to see things change, to see things shift. That's a grace on your life. Jess won't always use a lot of words, you know. Jess is an introvert by personality, but, you know, when she speaks, get prepared for something to shift, something to be chopped off, something to be broken. So I just want to bless you with that. I saw it so clearly this morning. Hey, can we pray? Can we pray before we just get into the Word? Father, we just so thank you and honor you for your presence here in this room already, what you've already spoken, what you've already done. Father, we treasure it, and we ask that you would continue to speak by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that every single person in this room right now would be attuned to what the Spirit has to say to their heart this morning, Father God. We pray against every and any distraction in Jesus' name, that our spiritual ears would be open, that our spiritual eyes would be open, that we would be people who perceive the times that we live in. People who, Lord God, are aware, Lord God, that this is the end days, that Christ is doing something significant in his church, and we want to be a people who are ready, Father God. So we give you our yes afresh this morning, Father God. We all rededicate our lives to you afresh this morning. And we do ask, according to Jesus' model, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask. Everyone said, amen. 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 So good. I wonder if you're like me. I wonder if you've spent time across the course of your life considering the purpose of God for your life. Give me a wave if you're like me. These are thoughts that I've often had across the course of my life, just thinking about the purpose of God or how God might use me or where he might use me and this sort of thing. And I can remember having these thoughts as far back as a high schooler when I was a teenager. And I distinctly remember having a thought when I was in lower school, and it went something like this. It was like, when I am in upper school, then I will do something great for God. You know, when I am in upper school, then I'll really see the purposes of God manifest in my life. Except I wouldn't have used the word manifest back then because I was a teenager. But I'll see God do something great in my life because I'll be, you know, the oldest in the school. I'll have some clout. I'll get my license. I'll have some respect. And I'll really see God do something great. But then I got into upper school. And upper school wasn't all that I had imagined it to be, you know. Suddenly, the stress of study was real. I did a little something called the TEE. Anybody know what that is? Five of you. Nah, no, more of you know. They all do HR these days. But, you know, and you know, the peer pressure was real and all these sorts of things. So the upper school ended up being a bit of a write-off. Upper school was just a means to a university entrance. And I was like, never mind. Never mind. I had a new thought. When I get into university, then I'll really do something great for God. Then I'll really shift into the purposes of God when I'm at university because I'll have freedom and I'll have independence and I'll be a real adult then. And sure enough, I got to university and again, things weren't all that they were cracked up to be in my mind. They, you know, the study again was real. The peer pressure was real. The university tavern was a temptation. And is it all right if I'm authentic here this morning? You know, so never mind, you know, when I'm working full time, you know, then I'll do something great for God. Do you see a pattern emerging? This pattern continued in my life where I was always looking beyond where I was. I was always looking, you know, to do something great for God in a future season. I don't think I'm the only one that's ever felt this way. I think it's common to people that we view oftentimes the purposes of God as being in the future. The purposes of God being in a season that is far off, somewhere where I am currently not, when this is resolved or that has changed or so and so, or so and such and such, you know, then I will get serious about the purposes of God. And yet, if you're anything like me, when those moments finally come, when those seasons finally shift, you do find that the expectation perhaps doesn't meet the reality. That one challenge suddenly goes, but a new challenge suddenly comes, and this sort of thing. And I think part of the problem with that is that in life we tend to, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, we tend to create compartments. We draw a divide between what is spiritual and what is secular. We create like these boxes. And so maybe in the spiritual box, well, our church attendance is there and our devotional life is there and our tithe is there and our service is there, our Christian friends are there. So in that box, we'll pray. In that box, we'll consult the Lord. In that box, we've got faith. But over here, I've got a secular box. And in that is maybe my studies or my careers, my decision-making, my spending, my holidaying and that sort of thing. And maybe I'm not so diligent to consult God in this space. Maybe I'm not so diligent to pray or because really it's just secular. What interest does God have in this space? Am I talking to someone this morning? And because, you know, the result of this kind of compartmentalized thinking, the result of this spiritual versus secular is that oftentimes we don't feel very spiritual. Oftentimes we don't feel like we're really engaged in the purposes of God or really seeing Him do a tremendous work in and through our lives. And I just want to put it to you this morning, Jesus doesn't observe our boxes. Jesus does not pay any regard whatsoever for the compartments that we might create. He doesn't care what you think He can and cannot use. He actually does not care. See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 6, it says this, it's a fantastic scripture. It says, you have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who rules over all and works through all and is present in all. He rules over all. He works through all. He's present in all. All is a very inclusive word. There is not much that you can leave out of all. Like all means all. All is all encompassing and God wants to work through it all. If this was not the case, I don't believe that we would read in Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, something that might be on your nana's toilet door. It's a very, you know, popular passage of scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, turn to your neighbor and say, in all your ways, in all your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. This proverb, it's not just a directive or a command, it's actually an invitation. It's an invitation that's saying, would you trust him with absolutely everything? Would you bring him into absolutely everything? There is no divide. There is no compartments. There is no spiritual and secular. Would you just bring him into every moment, every decision, every situation? And that's why I've titled this message today simply, Bring Jesus In. Bring Jesus in. Can I suggest to you that the purposes of God are not waiting for us in the future? The purposes of God are not suddenly going to, arise when we've ticked all of our spiritual boxes and all of our ducks are nicely in a row. Whose ducks have never lined up? My ducks have never lined. What even are ducks? What's the reference? I don't know. But my ducks are not in a row wherever they are. You know, I want to put it to you today that the purposes of God for your life start right now. Let me say it again. Let me prophesy it over your life. The purposes of God for your life are right now. Sure, you might exist in a greater manifestation of them sometime down the future. You might be released into something greater. But that does not negate the fact that God wants to do something in you and through you right here and right now. Jesus is not religious. Jesus does not fit nicely into our compartments. He does not fit into our boxes. He didn't fit into the boxes when we read about him in the Gospels. He constantly blew their minds. He constantly shattered their expectations about what he could and couldn't do and where he should and shouldn't work. And they would accuse him. They would test him. You know, why are you going there, Jesus? And why are you doing that on the Sabbath, Jesus? You shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath. And you know, she's a Samaritan woman. Why are you talking to her, Jesus? He constantly, didn't he? He just got into unconventional places and he paid no mind to their accusations. And he paid no mind to their tests. And we need to ask ourselves the question, if Jesus himself did not limit himself about where he could and couldn't work, why do we try and limit him to where he can and cannot work? We need to stop doing that. You know, if we would just lose that mindset of one day in the future and one day over the rainbow, you know, and something, if we would lose that divide between secular and spiritual and just bring Jesus in, just allow him access to every part and component of our life, we would very suddenly realize that Jesus is happy to work in any season. He's happy to work in the madness. He's happy to work in the chaos. He's happy to work in the crazy, you know. He's happy to work in the painful. He's happy to work in the unresolved. He's happy to work in the areas that you don't understand. He's happy to work in the boring. Hello. Even if you're over it, Jesus can still be found in it. He's in the process and he's in the finished product. He's in it all. So the only question really left to ask is, will we bring Jesus in? Will we grant him access and really trust him with all of our heart and really acknowledge him in all of our ways and really get away from our own understanding? Who knows, we'll never do anything if we need to understand everything. We'll never do anything, but will we bring him in? Because I want to say that when you bring Jesus in, everything changes. When you bring Jesus in, all sorts of good things start to happen. And we see that one of those things, when we bring Jesus in, he actually brings fresh purpose. When we bring Jesus in, he brings fresh purpose. You know, there wouldn't be a single person here that doesn't know what the grind of life is like. You know what I'm saying? The daily grind, right? Doesn't matter whether you're a student here or a worker or a professional or a homemaker or employed, unemployed. It actually doesn't matter. We've all got our daily grind. We get up, we feed the pets, we kiss our spouse, we kiss the pets, we feed our spouse. I don't know. All of them work. We catch the bus, we catch the train, we drive the car, we please the boss, we pay the bills. You know, we do, you know, we've all got our daily grind. It's going to be same, same, but different for every single one of us, but we all have it. We all have it. And sometimes in the context of that daily grind, it's hard to feel like there's any type of purpose. It's hard to feel like there's anything that is significant that's going on. And we read about the Apostle Peter in Scripture, and you know what? He had a daily grind. His daily grind was a fishing boat, because he was a fisherman. That's what he did. And so his daily grind kind of looked like and revolved around this fishing boat. But one day in Luke chapter 5, he actually brought Jesus into that context, and everything changed. We're going to read about it in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. It says, on this one occasion, Jesus was preaching to the crowds on the shore of the Lake Galilee, and there was a multitude of people pushing to get close to Jesus and to hear the word of God. And he noticed that there was two fishing boats at the water's edge and with the fishermen nearby rinsing their nets. So Jesus climbed into the boat that belonged to Simon Peter, and he asked him, hey, let me use your boat. That's really important. Let me use your boat. Push it off a short distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowds. And then Jesus sat down. So he's on the boat now. He sat down and he taught the people from the boat. It's really interesting. Jesus was using a boat, much like I'm using this stage. And he was directly, he was addressing a crowd that was in front of him. But you've got to remember, this boat was the object of Peter's daily grind. This boat was the very centerpiece of what his daily grind looked like every day. He would have rowed that boat. He would have caught those fish. He would have cleaned those nets, cleaned those fish, and so on and so forth. But this day, when he brought Jesus in, suddenly it all changed. See, but previously, the boat was just a means to an end. The boat was the object to yield an income so he could survive. But on this day, when Jesus had been brought in, suddenly the boat is a platform for the will and the purposes of God. Suddenly, this boat has become a vehicle or a vessel for the gospel. It's become a vessel for people's lives to be touched and transformed and changed because Christ is now in the boat because he'd been brought in even into this place of daily grind. And I love what Jesus said to Peter. He said, let me use your boat. As in, let me use your daily grind. Let me use your 9 to 5. Let me use it. I think he wants to have the same sort of conversation with us. Let me use your boat. Like, what is your boat? What could Jesus be looking at in your life saying, let me use it? Let me use your playgroup. Let me use your office space. Let me use your circle of friends. Let me use your network. Let me use your home that you love, that you're devoted to. Let me use your car, your cat. Well, you know, fill in the blank for yourself. But there's this conversation, yeah, let me use your boat. There's a couple called the Kelseys in our Port Kennedy campus. Some of you may have met them. They're very inspirational. They own a pizza shop. They own a pizza shop, but they have made their pizza shop their boat. They've made it a ministry. It's not just the daily grind of the salami and the pepperoni and the pineapple and such. When the customers come in, they actually minister to them. When it's appropriate, they reach their community for the gospel of Christ through the vehicle of this pizza shop. They host Connect Group in their pizza shop, and it's an inspiration. Because they've allowed the Lord to bring fresh purpose. The mundane gets a brand new meaning. And there could be something in your life that Jesus is looking at going, I could actually bring fresh purpose to that. I could actually platform off of that thing in your world if you would just bring me in. you'd be surprised what Jesus can do when we bring him in. There's this thing that so many people are trying to get out of situations. But I had the thought, we need to start bringing Jesus into situations. Like the prayers of so many people's prayer lives, like, get me out of it, get me out of it. Maybe Jesus is saying, why don't you bring me into it? Why don't you see how I can transform things through it? What else does Jesus do when we bring him in? He brings fresh purpose, but he also brings significance. He brings significance. See, every human heart desires significance, I believe. But not many people feel significant. A lot of people go through their life feeling unimportant, go through their life feeling like they are small. But Jesus brings significance. The world would have us think that significance comes via prominence. That in order to really be significant, you have to be prominent, you have to be wealthy, you have to have a large following, that people need to know your name and such and such. And so in order to seek significance, people are actually seeking prominence. But that might be the world's way, but it's not the kingdom way. It's not the kingdom way. See, when we bring Jesus in, he comes carrying with him value and worth, and it actually doesn't matter what you do or who you are or who knows your name or such and such. Jesus just brings significance. And there's this incredible scripture that I think really illustrates that point around significance in Mark chapter 9. And it says this, it says, these are the words of Jesus. He says, truly I tell you, anyone who gives a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. Anyone who gives even a cup of water in my name. Like, a cup of water is it not the most menial task? It's the most insignificant seeming task. But when we do it in his name, when we bring Jesus into that space, suddenly this incredibly insignificant thing gains significance because Christ goes, I recognize that, I see that, and I'm going to remember it and reward it. I'm going to reward it. He gives it significance. There's another scripture, Psalm 84, where the psalmist actually says this. He says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So when the Old Testament talks about the courts of God or the house of God, it's actually referencing the presence of God. It's talking to us about the dwelling place of God. Because that's in the Old Testament context, that's where God's presence dwelt. So the psalmist is essentially saying, God, I just want to be where you are. I don't care what I do. I don't care who knows my name. I just have to be in your presence. That's what that psalm is saying. And it got me thinking that when this is our attitude to life, when we prefer his presence over prominence, every single thing can become significant. Just think about it. A doorkeeper in any other context is a boring job. Am I right? It's a boring job. But a doorkeeper in the house of God takes on a whole different meaning. Suddenly, I'm the one tasked and purposed with opening up for the very presence of God to come in. I'm the point person to open the door for the Lord to come in. And I just got to thinking, maybe if this was our attitude to life, maybe if we just valued presence so much more than prominence, we then get to be doorkeepers in our world. You get to be a doorkeeper in your school, your university, your office, your family, where you come, because you've preferred presence over prominence. You step into that space and you actually open a door for him also to step into that space and shift atmospheres and see his presence move in on that situation. Because anything can gain significance when we give it unto the Lord. And we do it unto his glory and we do it for his purpose. What have you got in your life that maybe today you're calling insignificant? That doesn't matter. I've never considered God in that box. Do you give your neighbor's friends a lift to sport on Saturday morning, you know? Do you buy your coffee from the same barista every day and say hello? You know, what is it that the Lord could use? He can go, if you would let me, if you would bring me in, I can bring significance right there in that, even that menial space, I can bring significance to it. Is this helping anyone this morning? My final thought, he brings fresh purpose. He brings significance. When we bring Jesus in, he brings healing and restoration. When we bring Jesus in, we actually make room for the supernatural. When we bring Jesus in, we make room for miracle working power to come into our situation. You and I can't shift things in our own strength, yeah? But when we bring Jesus in, we make room for miracles. And there's an encounter involving Simon Peter's mother-in-law in the book of Luke, chapter 4. We read from verse 38. It says, now he arose from the synagogue and he entered Simon's house. This is Jesus. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. So he stood over her, Jesus stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately, say immediately, immediately she arose and she served them. Beautiful little account, just a couple of short verses. And if you're speed reading, you'd probably miss it. If you speed read, but I think it's recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels. And I think it's trying to teach us actually something powerful. Because this woman was knocked out of service. She was out of purpose because she was sick. She was carrying this illness. She needed a healing. And Jesus got brought into that situation. And when he was brought in, he healed her. And that's tremendous. She needed that healing. But he didn't actually stop there. He healed her and he caused this woman who had been down to stand up. And then when she was standing, he actually restored her to service so that now she was capable of serving both Jesus and the people around her. You know, loving God and loving people because she had been healed. And I think that this woman is actually a prophetic picture of so many people in the body of Christ right now. There's so many people that are out of service. They are out of purpose because they need a healing. It might be a physical healing. Who believes that God still heals bodies in this day and age? But beyond that, I think many people need a heart healing. That the wounds of life have really struck them, you know? Whatever's gone on in your life, your situation, your circumstance, that failure, that disappointment, that breakup, that breakdown, that this, that, or the other. And because of the thing that happened, they're actually struggling to stand up in purpose, stand up in service. They're struggling to serve God. They're struggling to serve others because of what happened. And I want to say, if that's you in this place today, it's time to bring Jesus in. It's time to really bring him in, to not only heal you, but to restore you, to give a greater lease of life onto the purpose that God has intended for your life. There is nothing he cannot heal. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know where you've been, but I want to say to you, there's nothing he cannot heal. He's a master. He's a master at taking all things and working them together for good. He's a master at taking what the enemy meant for evil and turning it for good. He's that good. He's that capable. He can heal and he can restore when we bring Jesus in. You know, in my own life, there has been an area where, if I'm honest, I've struggled over the years and at times to bring Jesus in. It's been an area of my life. There's been a tremendous amount of grief. There's been a tremendous amount of questioning, a lot of why God. And the area in my life is that I'm a mum of a son with a disability. Some of you I know me, know my story. Others of you may not. Our son Isaiah has a rare genetic syndrome, manifests in him in lots of different ways. Some of the ways are that he's nearly nonverbal, 13 years old, can hardly speak. He has movement issues, and he also has an intellectual age of about, I would say, a 5, 6, 7-year-old. It's hard to say, but he has got quite significant difficulties. And, you know, as much as he is a joy and we adore him, we love him, and we wouldn't have our life without him, the reality is that he has many needs that are part of our day-to-day life. They're part of our daily grind. And, you know, in the early years, I really did bring Jesus in. I did, but I brought him in with preconceived ideas. I brought him in, it was like conditional, right? I brought him in, but it was, you know, had to be on my terms, not surrender to his terms. And it went a little something like this: God, come and fix it. God, come and make it all better. God, heal him, take it away, please. Just wake us up from this bad dream, please, God. That's how I was bringing Jesus in. And, you know, God's been so gracious and so faithful over the years. We have seen many, many miracles, and we continue to pray for the miraculous, but we, to date, have not seen the full miracle. We haven't seen the fullness of the miracle we're believing for. And so the daily grind for us just looks like care tasks for him, a lot of dressing and a lot of dealing with behaviors and toileting and all these sorts of things are the reality of our lives. But over the years, and by his grace, I've learned to bring him in without reservation. I've learned to bring him in with no preconceived ideas, you know. By grace, I say by grace because I couldn't have done it in my own strength, but I have learned here to trust in him with all of my heart and lean not on my own understanding because I don't have that much. And in all my ways, just acknowledge him and believe in him and trust in him. And as I have done that, I have found that everything I've preached to you today has been totally our experience. I've been healed. I've been restored. I've found significance. I've found purpose. All as I've determined to, without preconceived ideas, bring Jesus in. I was the woman. I was Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I was lying down. Felt like life had chopped me off at my knees, not walking in purpose, engaged in purpose. But Jesus has healed my heart. Jesus didn't just heal me. He caused me to stand up, released me back into purpose. I know you don't understand, but I want you to run anyway. You know, that sort of thing. He's given me a rock-solid conviction that the end of our story is wholeness. Whether it's this side of eternity or the next, we will all be made whole. See, you and I, we got let in on a secret. How this story ends, it's victory. In Christ, it is victory. He's brought healing. He's brought restoration. He's brought significance and purpose. You know, we've had ministries open up because of the fact that we have a son with a disability. He's given us an unconditional love for a community such that now I'm not just a mom of a son with a disability. I'm a minister in a disability community, which is crazy. Who could have known? Who would have thought that Heroes Academy, which many of you would have heard of, has been birthed as a direct result of the fact. See, so I'm not just a theory when I say, if you bring Jesus in, you'll find purpose and significance. I'm living proof that when you bring Jesus in, you'll find purpose, you find significance. Singers and musos, you can come and join me. You know, I've just shared to you out of my story, but I know you've got your story. I know you've got your areas. I know you've got your thing. I know you've got your challenge. I know you've got your heartache. I know you've got your daily grind. I know you've got those areas where it feels completely insignificant. My question to you is, have you brought Jesus in? Like, have you really brought him in? Ken preached on Vision Sunday. I know many of you were there and you've seen the recap if you weren't there. But he preached an incredible message that it's time to awaken. And he said we need to awaken to the mandate. We need to awaken to prayer. We need to awaken discipleship. But I also want to say we need to awaken to purpose. We need to awaken to what God is doing, not in some distant season, but what's he going to do right now? What's he going to do in your Monday to Friday? In your 9 to 5 right now. In case you haven't noticed, this is living. We're not waiting. We're living Right now is an opportunity. Right now is a blank slate. Right now, God wants to do something in your life. Right now, He is for you, not against you. Right now, nothing can separate you. Right now, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. Right now. Life with Jesus was not supposed to be dull and tough. He can turn your mess into a miracle. He can make it exciting. He can take you on an adventure. He can turn the daily grind into a daily adventure if you bring Him in. I believe as we do that individually and we come together corporately, we will be unstoppable. We will be a force to be reckoned with. The lost will be found. Can I say that? As you bring Jesus into your work, your 9 to 5, your Monday to Friday, as you bring Jesus in, the lost will be found and disciples will be made. And by His grace, nations will be reached. Amen. Amen. You can give Him some praise. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, all over this place. You can stand to your feet, put your things away. We love you in this place, Lord. We love you in this place, God. So in love with you, Jesus. So grateful for your presence. We're so grateful that you're the sort of God that brings purpose and significance. You bring healing and restoration. You are so good. And right now, just going to change gears just a little bit. I'm going to speak to you in the room this morning. If you're not a Christian, you're not somebody that loves God. You're not somebody that has a relationship with God. You've never prayed a prayer and invited Jesus into your life to be the Lord and Savior of your life. I'm speaking to you right now. Maybe you did do that a long time ago, but you know you're not walking with Him. I'm speaking to you too. And we always give people at Nations Church just an opportunity to make their peace with God, an opportunity to find Him, not find religion. Church isn't just a religious thing. I wouldn't describe myself as a religious person, but I would describe myself as somebody that has a real and living relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can have a real and living relationship with Jesus Christ as well if you would choose to open your life up to Him, if you would choose to bring Him in, really bring Him in. The Bible's very, very clear that God is not an angry God. God is a love, a loving Father. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus. Jesus was fully man for a time, but also fully God. And He was perfect in all of His ways. And He went to the cross. And He died a brutal death. And in dying that death, He took upon Himself, His own body, the sins of the world. He took your failures. He took your shortfalls. And He took mine too. And He died, but He didn't stay dead. God rose Him from the dead. And He's still alive today. Seated, the Scripture tells us, at the right hand of God in heaven. And He sent His Holy Spirit that's in us and through us and resides with us. So that anybody who believes the message of Jesus and anybody who opens up their life to Him and brings Him in can be saved, can have a relationship with God. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the message. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. You come to God and He cleans you up. He's that good. He's a loving Father. He's an amazing Father. He's a real Father. And He wants to have a relationship with you. But the questions to you is, will you bring Him in? And all over this place with every eye closed and Christians praying to respect this moment. If you're here this morning and you say, Chrissy, I want to leave here knowing that I have a relationship with God. I want to pray a prayer. I want to invite Jesus in. I want to bring Him into my life. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. What's going to happen if you put up your hand this morning? Well, we're not going to single you out or embarrass you We're just going to lead you in a prayer. In fact, the whole church will pray together. But if that's you saying that I want to do this morning, if you put up your hand, that'll be your moment where you can leave here assured that you have a relationship with God. So if that's you right now, all over this place, if I'm speaking to you this morning, will you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for in this building today? Christians are praying for you all over this place because they know the significance of this moment. And God wants to give your life a purpose. A purpose. He wants to add purpose to who you are. All over this place, don't leave this room today without responding to your God's love for you. All over this room, I'm looking for hands. Maybe you walked away and you want to come back to Him today. You would know if it's you, your heart's beating right now. That's the Holy Spirit. He's not aggressive, He's loving you. Come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. 3 more seconds, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Oh, I see that hand, that's so cool. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, church, let's just pray together. Let's pray together. I'm so encouraged by that hand right now. That's amazing. And I just believe that as you leave this building today, things are going to shift in your life. Things are going to turn as the Lord becomes Lord of your life and sets you on a path to purpose. Come on, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you He died and He rose again. So that I can be free, so that I can be forgiven. Come into my life, forgive all sin, wipe the slate clean, give me a fresh start, lead me in hope, lead me in purpose, so that I can walk in your ways all of my days. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Come on, give Him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. For the person that raised your hand just now, one of our team members has seen you and will bring you a Bible. We're just so proud of you. Welcome to the family of faith. Right now, just come on, stay engaged, church. Don't allow yourself to switch off. Just right where you are, just keep your eyes closed. Put your hands out like you're worshiping if that works for you. And allow the Holy Spirit to just come and transact with your heart right now. Because we can't have a message like this and not give Him some response, you know, not bring Him an application point in our life. And there's a few groups of people that I really feel to pray for this morning, but one group specifically for you, Belmont, today is this whole idea of coming to God with preconceived ideas. I think in this place today, there's an anointing to deal with your preconceived ideas. That you're praying particular prayers, but you're only going to accept a particular outcome. There's only one thing that you have on your mind, and it's actually a limitation to the Father. And the scripture I got for you this morning is in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 9, and it's, who is the clay to say to the potter how you will mold me? Who is the clay to actually tell the potter how you're going to use me, how you're going to shape me, how you're going to form me? And the Lord in this place wants to deal with preconceived ideas, to actually chop them off, where you're going to start coming to God without reservation and without condition. There's a new cry in your heart that's coming. I surrender all. If that's you all over this place, so why don't you just raise your hands in the presence of God? Yeah, wow. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, wow. All over this place. Oh. Thank you, Lord. 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 You see these hands lifted before you right now, Lord. And Father, they're hands that are saying, I'm yielding. I'm yielding. I'm yielding. You are God and I am not. I'm yielding just from your own heart, in your own words. Tell him, you are God and I am not. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are your ways above my ways and your thoughts above my thoughts. And right now, in your presence, Lord, we yield to you. We yield to your higher ways. We yield to your higher thoughts. Father, forgive us for every time that we have put limitations on you through our small-minded thinking. Father, we are unidimensional, but you are multidimensional. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to individuals right now, Father God, and they might have been praying in one direction, but you're wanting to come at them from 10 directions, Father God. They may have been thinking small, but you're talking to them, counseling them right now, Holy Spirit, to, Lord, lift their eyes and see that you are seated in heavenly places. You are not bound. You are not constrained. You are not limited. You are the Almighty God, Elohim, maker of it all, Father God, and we give it to you. We give it to you. We give it to you, Father God. Father, I pray as people pray these types of bold prayers, Father God, that you would rush into their situation, Lord God, with almighty favor. Father God, almighty favor that you would do their bidding. Some people have been fighting in their own strength, but God wants to fight for you. Drop down your sword, yield to him, and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and fight for you, to see the victory won, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.